I'm gonna tell you up front, one of the big whys we're talking about Jesus, the hope for all mankind, because that's what many need to be refilled or refueled with. Often we don't have a faith problem, we have a hope problem. And we have to see Jesus is our hope. When things in the world look hopeless and helpless, Jesus has to be, ladies and gentlemen, our hope and our only hope. If you got your hope in other things, that curtain rod or that thing may crack and crumble and come crashing down. But put your hope, return your hope today back to Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's beautiful about prophecy about Jesus, isn't it, right? Matthew 1:21, it says, "For she will bring forth a son," talking about Mary, the virgin at that time, "and you shall call his name Jesus." Everybody say Jesus. Jesus is a word that is both combined of an Old Testament reference and a New Testament reference. And together, this word means God Almighty as Redeemer has come. It is God manifest in the flesh. When you say Jesus, you're encompassing the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament combined. So everybody say Jesus. So you call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So today, as we look ahead to Christmas this week, and we remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, and every season, I want to reemphasize and reinstate the truth of Scripture that Jesus is the hope. He's the help. He's the healing for all mankind. Jesus is the answer of heaven for a lost, dying, distressed, just desperate and lonely world. What's the answer? The answer is Jesus. I hope we can find an answer. There is an answer. The answer is Jesus Christ, my friends. Friends, we must realize that the Christmas story didn't end 2,000 plus years ago, but it continues. It continues to provide hope, continues to provide help, it continues to provide healing to us. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, amen, relationally, and financially. What pains are you experiencing? What are the problems that you are facing and confronting you right now? Jesus is the answer for your hope, your help, and your healing. Perhaps in 2020, this year, many people are saying, "I'm waiting for the calendar to turn over because this is a rough year." Perhaps you might even say the struggle has been real. But 2020 has been painful or problematic year, but Jesus is still our hope. Our hope for a better future, our help for a present need or situation, and a perfect healing for the scars and the wounds of our painful past. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the ultimate gift from heaven and the greatest gift of God. So why do we need this hope? Why do we look, when we look at the trees in our house or the symbol of Christ coming in a manger, why do we need hope? Well, I'm going to give you a few reasons. Number one, hope is the anchor to steady you. Hebrews 6:19 says, "This hope is strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul that leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So hope keeps you you steady in your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you, if you live a hope-filled life, it's going to keep you steady in the midst of your moments when life is unsteady and uncertain. How many can testify or witness to that life this year has somewhat caused a little bit of unsteadiness and uncertainty? We've seen things unprecedentedly come about. Things that come that's like, I can't believe that's happening in our world. See, when life gets tumultuous, hope will be your stabilizer. You don't have to be thrown by circumstances and experience emotional extremes. Why? Because you'll be anchored. And I love the, I really love the military, and I love the vessels and all the branches, really. And you know, I really intrigued by the Navy because you know they drive those big old boats and you know in the water and submarines and different things. And so I kind of get into that stuff. But I like this stuff. But served in the military. Very, very honored to be and privileged to be able to serve. You know, the Air Force, everybody. You know, just honored about that. But, you know, one of the things about those ships that I like, I used to build model ships when I was younger. Maybe that's a hobby I'll pick back up with a grandson or something like that, maybe. But anyway, but that big old anchor would drop, you know, in the middle of a wavy, stormy sea. And many people say that the chain links just on the chain, you know, where they've retired and decommissioned those ships, the chain links on the anchor itself were 200 pounds. I mean, each link in the chain. Then that big old anchor, but everybody on the ship would, you would hear a common story about the anchor. When the anchor was being let down, everybody felt it, and everybody knew that we were anchoring down and stabilizing this ship in this storm. Boom, 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 boom. That thing would vibrate the whole ship as those 200-pound chain links would be running out. But then, and think about this with Christ being the anchor, because he's our hope. And when the storms of life start raging against your house, against your life, here comes Jesus. Stabilizing your life, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions in the middle of the storm. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. And so, friends, the government is good in one sense, but it's not our hope and stabilizer. It's good that they're pushing out the vaccine, but the vaccine is not to be our hope nor our stabilizer. Or the next stimulus package that they put out there and send out little blurbs about saying it's almost done, it's almost finished. But friends, that's not supposed to be our hope and our stabilizer. Only Jesus is our hope and is the hope for all mankind. Everybody say, keep your eyes on Jesus. So this Christmas, I want you to do something for yourself. That is to remember and receive the gift of hope in Jesus Christ. Now, some people say, well, I hope to give everybody, have enough money to give everybody a present. Don't let that be your hope, because you may be disappointed when you run out of money. The Bible says in Proverbs, hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. And unfortunately, friends, there are many people who have a deferred hope. It just means they're disappointed. Disappointments will lead to a sickness of the soul. Oftentimes, sometimes, because of the pressure and the pain of this year, people have let family disappoint them. They've allowed it. People have let finances disappoint them. Either not enough or too much that went out too fast. Praise God. But remember and receive the gift of hope. Because without Christ, friends, you can only drift toward hopelessness. Now, what is hopelessness? Hopelessness leads you to despair and quitting and giving up. You're saying, and giving in to the whims of the situation or Satan in your life. See, with hope, you can cheer up and even cheer on others. Even it looks things look discouraging because your hope isn't based on what's happening here or what has happened to you. Come on now. Your hope is based on what's happening somewhere else, what is happening in heaven. And the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of hope, will give you a glimpse of what's happening in heaven is what he can have happen in your heart. Because heaven sent Jesus down, Jesus came. Heaven sent Jesus to die, Jesus died. Heaven received Jesus back to glory, Jesus is risen and exalted. Heaven will send Jesus back to earth. Jesus is coming again. Somebody say glory to God. Jesus will rule and reign forever. So you might say, well, I don't know who's supposed to be in charge, who's supposed to be taking care of all these things around this world. But Jesus, our hope, he's coming back and he's going to rule and reign forever and ever as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. That's our hope. Jesus is Lord. No matter what's going on, Jesus is Lord. He's coming back to fix things. He's coming back to make things right. He's coming back to run it through righteousness. That should anchor you. Because you and I have a better future than what's happening in our present. And our best days are not behind us, ladies and gentlemen. They are in front of us. Get some hope today. Second, number two, hope is an attitude which guides you. Psalms 42, verse 11. Why am I discouraged? David was asking this question to himself. Some of the greatest conversations, friends, you can have is with yourself. Why am I discouraged? You know, the Bible says, be not discouraged. It never tells us you're allowed in this situation to be discouraged. Discouragement is a precursor to depression. It precedes depression. Discouragement means that you're out of courage, because it takes courage, ladies and gentlemen, to do what God has created you to do and be, to be what God's created you to be. It takes courage to do what God has called and commanded you to do. Let me say that again so I'm making sure it's clear. It takes courage to be who God created you to be. Now, when I'm talking about creating, I'm talking about recreated in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. It takes courage. Everybody say courage. He told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. He told him three times, be strong and be of a good courage. We're told to be of a good courage, not to be discouraged. So discouragement started encroaching David's soul, and he asked himself, why am I discouraged? In other words, why am I out of courage? Why am I empty on courage? Because it takes courage, like I said, to be who God created you to be. It takes courage to do what God has called and commanded you to do. We often say when people are discouraged, they use these things as disqualifiers from doing. They usually have an excuse. They have an explanation. They request for an exemption. And you see Moses through the times, he tried to make an excuse. He said, God, leave me alone. I can't even talk. You asking me to preach? See, God has called people to pray. God has called people to preach. God has called people to prophesy. God has called people to serve and to stand in the with the gospel and carry forth his gospel. And some people say, I can't talk. I don't want to pray in public. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Well, you're out of courage. Why are you discouraged? See, an attitude to guide you. You got to remember, on a plane, remember, I like military guys. I love the Air Force and the Navy, Marine pilots, Army pilots, all the, you know, when they're flying up, they have that altimeter. When that nose is up, the attitude control meter, that's all it means. The attitude of the plane is rising higher. It's ascending. It's going up. But if that thing is steady, it's going straight. But if it's going down, you're going down. And David caught himself and said, why am I discouraged? I checked the refrigerator of my soul and I found there is no courage in the milk bottle. I don't want to make any of you hungry. He said, why is my heart so sad? So he checked his spirit and said, why is my heart so sad? There's people sad this season. When Christmas, the original Christmas, was about worship. When the angels showed up and made the announcement, the birth announcement, they said, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. It was not a song of pity. It was a song of praise. It was a statement of purpose and power. So David says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Have you checked your heart lately? And as it says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And you can say it this way, it makes the heart sad. He says, I will. Everybody say, I will. You have to make a decision. I will put my hope in God. So in other words, he had been let down from friends or from family. And usually that's when people allow their soul to get pulled down into the miry muck of discouragement. He said, I will hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. See, there is even a hope-filled attitude connected to our faith. Because he said, I will. Because faith begins with a firm, decided choice. A choice to believe. I'm going to choose to put my hope and trust in God. And not in these people who keep letting me down. It's not that you hate on them. You're never supposed to hate on them. Never take a sip of haterade. That's bitter. That'll bother you for the rest of your days. That will burden you with the shackles of unforgiveness and offense. Never take a sip of haterade. Amen. But you make a choice with your faith and not based on your feelings. And you make a choice to hope and to trust in God. Romans 4:18, Abraham did this. He said, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone. He said, I looked around in the natural, and in me and my wife, we don't have a hope of a child. He said he hoped in faith. He said, if I trust God, God specializes in miracles. Amen. God does marvelous things. God will do, Jeremiah 33, great and mighty things. Hallelujah. If I call on him, he said he'll answer me, he'll answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. So you got a hope and faith. What's your faith in? Your faith is in God. Hallelujah. That he should become the father of many nations as he had promised. So when God promises you something, you need to put your hope in God. You put your hope and faith in God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Hope must be connected to your faith. We learned about hope from God's word, that hope is the expectation of a greater future than the current circumstances. So everyone, if you've been receiving Jesus as your hope, will have an expectation of a better 2021 than 2020. Bar none, everyone should be checking off that it's going to be good next year. It's going to be better than good. It's going to be better than good. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be great. Somebody say glory to God. Hope is an anchor, as we said, to our soul, our mind, and will, and emotion, that keeps you steady and challenged. Hope sets the tone for your conversations. It seasons your speech. You don't run around with excuses, with explanations, with requests for exemptions of why I'm discouraged, why I'm depressed, why I'm so sorely disappointed in anything and everyone. See, Bible hope is not just wishing and wanting something, just, you know, dreaming or fantasizing about something, hoping it and wishing that it'll get better. But hope, Bible hope, is joyful, confident expectation of good. It's joyful, confident expectation of good. It you are persuaded of something that's true because we know Jesus is truth. God, let God be true and every man or woman a liar. God is true. Praise God. He's not a man that he should lie. Praise God. And you're expecting something good and you're excited about it. So you can tell people in hope because their face looks hopeful. I sometimes can relate to what God told Jeremiah. Don't look at their faces. Because he had to deliver some bad news, some rough news sometimes. And sometimes the faces were very hopeless or discouraging. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Abraham believed in spite of the impossibilities of his age. He spoke according to what God spoke. Genesis 15:5. And according to means just simply he was in hearty agreement with. So in other words, listen to this. When hope becomes your attitude, you put your head and your heart in agreement with what God says. Not what you see and feel or have experienced recently or are experiencing right now. You put your head and your heart and say, there it is. God said it. I choose to believe what he said, not what I feel or see. Praise God. Number three, hope strengthens you. This is a big one. All of these are big ones. Hope strengthens you. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord, read down the NIV this time, will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord. You look for him. You expect him. You're looking and expecting and intensely anticipating God to move, God to manifest, God to make things right. He said, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In other words, people quit. People fall out. People flake out. People fall apart. God wants us to be strengthened for 2021, the balance of this year, of course, and 2021 and beyond. He wants us to be strengthened. We will go from strength to strength, as the Bible says in Psalms 84. They will go from strength to strength. Everybody say strength to strength. So one degree of strength to another degree of strength. That means when you go longer, you get stronger. When you grow older, your strength gets renewed day by day in every way. Come on now, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. See, our society and our culture today is trying to convince us that strength is all physical. And you see the rise of emotional and mental health issues today more so than any other time in American history. I know just in Bexar County, it's been said and been reported through the mayor and the Metro County health officials and others, that the hospital's mental health places are filling up. The Christian places are filling up. Now, you get help if you need help. But see, society and culture has convinced us that all this strength is about your physical. And you got people that don't know how to sleep right because they're in stress. They're in de-stress. And they don't know how to rest. Amen. And they think, well, I just can't sleep. I just don't sleep. No, your mind and emotions are running wide open. Amen. But the prophet Isaiah and others clearly tell us that we can experience God's supernatural strength and power for every season and circumstances, because we know that hope in Christ, hope in the Lord, gives us strength. What's going to give you strength? If I get 12 hours of sleep for a week, how many ever slept for 10, 12 hours and got up and you're still tired, sluggish? Because your battery is not your body. Your battery is your spirit and your soul. Your battery is not your body, but your battery is not your battery is your spirit and your soul. So if you're spiritually depleted, and y'all know, y'all look for a charger as soon as that red hits your phone battery indicator. But we need to hear Isaiah the prophet. And we need to hear why Jesus came to give us hope. Too often people have lost their strength and their spiritual stamina because they've been dehydrated and they've been famished or fatigued in their spirit. Their spirit is weak. Their soul is weak. They got poverty in the soul. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. So our hope in Christ and our hope in the Lord gives us what? Gives us strength. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for giving me strength. So when you look at the gift of Jesus, you say, this is hope for me to have strength. Amen. Amen. Now, let me give you a couple of brief testimonies. Not me, but you know others. There's two guys I'm thinking about that were testified. One was 85 and one was 78. they both said this. They said, you know, I only require 5 hours, 5.5 hours of sleep a night. And they work until and keep going, a full day's work plus some. And some of them, they said, you know, I work all to about 9, 10 o'clock at night and get up at 5 o'clock next morning. And they said that they're 70-something years old, 78 years old, one guy's 85, and they were doing work for the Lord. But they said they rely on the Lord to renew their strength day by day. Sometimes when we start looking at other things, we're trying to rely on coffee. We're trying to rely on, thank God for coffee, if you like coffee. We're trying to rely on getting enough sleep. Come on now. Trying to rely on this or that. When we're so wired up and tied up inside, come on now, and we're not getting sleep, and then we can't do what God wants us to do. Amen. I don't know how come I'm working on that, but they said, you know, I get up and I said, I'm refreshed, I'm strong. They said, I can work strong and hard and long than a young person in his late 70s or in his 80s. Why? Because you learn how to put your hope in Christ and not in your flesh and not in the crisis. Some people try to exist off of adrenaline. Adrenaline is only for a temporary need at the time, but you can't live off of it. So they need adrenaline all the time to keep them up and wired, but then the body crashes and falls. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all getting something out of this today? Yeah. Number four, hope is a promise. I'm just going to stop with the hope parts, guys. Hope is a promise. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. The plans, they are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Some people say, well, what are we going to do next year? Everybody say this phrase with me. God has a plan.
God has a plan.
What we're going to do about this? Say it with me. God has a plan.
Amen.
How are we going to get our bank account straightened out and our money right? Our money's been funny. Everybody say it with me. God has a plan.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so he has a plan for our what? Good, and not for our disaster. Amen. And he will give the plan that gives you a future and a hope. That means not a future that's falling apart, but a future that's big and bright.
Amen.
And where things are right. Praise the Lord. And a hope. Give you a future and a hope. In other words, you say, man, my best days are ahead of me. My most blessed days are ahead of me. Praise the Lord. See, you have no future until you have hope. Some people hope to die so they can stop the misery and the mess in their lives. But that's a perverted hope. It's really hopelessness. Your hope is not to just get out of here and leave everybody else to clean up your mess. Hope is a promise God has given to each of us in Christ. So as you unwrap the gift of Christmas, get your promise of hope reactivated. And so that you will look and see, God has a plan. He has a glorious, good plan for me. God has a glorious, good plan for me. So that means I don't have to try to develop a plan. Come on now, because God's already got a plan. And if his plan is, if he's already got a plan, that he said his plan is good, it is not for disaster. It's not for evil. It's to give us a future and a hope.
Amen.
So all I had to do now is discover his plan. So when you look at the gift of Jesus, when you look at hope in Jesus, you say, well, God has a plan. How are we going to do this? God has a plan. Say it with me one more time. Say, God has a plan. See, most people, as I said earlier, don't have faith problem. They have a hope problem. Because they have no hope that God has got a good plan, a glorious plan for their lives. So what do? They relegate themselves to only personal self-planning. Now, when you do that outside of God, then you're going to not be in the will of God, perhaps, because you got to go to him to get it. You can't go to your head to get it. You got to seek him with all your heart to get it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you got a hope problem today, we want to pray with you. Because some people say, well, I believe, I just, my hope meter is busted. Broke. Unfortunately, people have lost hope. Let me give you some real life contexts. They've lost hope for their marriage. They've lost hope for their family and their family being coming to God and serving God. They've lost hope about their job, the business that they're in. The business idea that God gave them in their spirit, in their heart. Too many have lost hope for their health to get any better or their finances to get straightened out. And too many have lost hope about their tomorrow and about their future. So they walk around mad and miserable and sad of heart. See, life this year, 2020, has beat the hope out of some people. Life in 2020, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, has beat the hope out of some people. But look and listen to the glorious gift of Jesus, the gift of hope, because Jesus is the hope for all mankind. Somebody say, glory to God. The last one I'm going to give you today, praise God, is hope is bigger than this life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, the Bible says to us in the NIV, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we are of all people most pitied. So in other words, if all we have is hope down here, our life is the pits. Because our hope is supposed to be in him. In him. Hope in God. Remember David says, why are you discouraged? Why is my heart sad? I got a hope in God. I got a hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. In other words, some people put all their eggs and stock and their focus on having everything perfect, normal, calm, cool, collected, and comfortable down here. But my Bible, your Bible tells me in Psalms 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, he didn't say every once in a while. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what's the hope part of it? But the Lord delivers us out of them all. So that means you're either getting up or you're either going through or just have gotten through something. Then you need to refresh your hope, refresh your faith, and get ready to go through it again. Go through something again. You ought to get to where you're expecting challenges to your faith. There's no such thing, as we said, as unchallenged faith. If you're going to be a man and woman of faith and filled with hope, the devil's going to challenge you. But you got to remember and receive the gift of Jesus and say, this is my hope. I'm going to get, I got through that last time. Because the devil never messes with you about last time. It's always about this time. He said, I'm going to get through it this time. I got my hope ready. I know the outcome before the onset. And my outlook is optimistic about what Jesus and the Lord will do for me as we go through this next phase. As we go through this next year. Somebody say glory to God. But if the only thing you got hope for is to stay comfortable, to stay everything all together and think everything under your control, come on, you will be miserable. Because my Bible and your Bible also tells me that those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. What is persecution? Everybody say it with me. People problems. That people going to talk about you. People going to backstab you, backbite you, criticize you, ostracize you. Somebody say, close themselves. They want to close themselves up because I don't want no people problem. I don't want no people problem. And really in the family, they don't want no people problem. I don't want nobody mad at me. I don't want nobody. So they compromise or they stay in conflict. And that's not Bible hope. Somebody say, preach it, Pastor. You're doing real good. See, our hope transcends this life. Because you got to imagine when Jesus came, everybody was fine until he stepped out at age 30 and says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is in. And I'm sure he kept his hope for his family, his brothers, but none of them, not one of them followed him while he was on his earthly ministry. But he kept his hope. Who for the joy set before him. Endured the cross, despised the shame. Come on now, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, resisted sin. Because he was asking, why did everybody leave me? And nobody was around when he was going through his worst time in history, the worst event in history. And he said, why is everybody, he could have not resisted that temptation to get offended, to get discouraged when, why am I dying for all these people who don't care about me? He just became the gift that keeps on giving and keeps on living with hope and with faith and with confidence in God his Father. Come on now, somebody say glory to God. And he kept on going, kept on going, kept on going, kept on going. Now, eventually, his brothers came to the Lord. Amen. His family came to the Lord. Keep your hope going. Our hope is bigger than this life. Some people have their hopes hung up on, if I can just pay off all my bills, if I can just have all the money in the bank I need, if I can just have everything lined up the way I want it, then I'll be completely hopeful and satisfied. Our hope, listen to me, is bigger than this life. Our hope is bigger than this life. Look at this. Psalms 147 verse 11. No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. What does God delight? Some people think, well, God delights in me being comfortable, casual, no conflicts. No, you like that. God delights in those that fear him, that put him first before any other person, that put him first before their family, that put him first before their finances. God delights, the Lord delights in those who fear him, those who reverence him, who respect him, who honor him, who have an awe and appreciation of him, and those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Psalms 33, verse 18, it says it this way: behold, the Lord's eye is upon those who fear him. Where's his eyes? Upon those who fear him. Now, what does this eye mean? This eye, in the Hebrew reference, means God's fountain of power and supply. His eye means God's fountain of power and supply. In other words, he's looking for those who fear him so he can pour out and pour out of his fountain his power and supply for them. He said, those who fear him, those fear him who revere and worship him in with awe, those who wait for him and hope in his mercy and loving kindness. Stop looking for people to help you and heal you and hand you something. Put your hope in his mercy, his loving kindness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to receive your hope again this Christmas. Get your hope reactivated for a brighter future. That means we come in with a smile on our face saying, What are you so happy about? Man, my future is bright, and there's no end in sight. Hey, amen. I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. Somebody say glory to God. Come on, stand to your feet, please, with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege, and we thank you for the opportunity.